Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, the podcast for serious lacrosse players and their supporters to help further their development and navigate their way throughout their lacrosse careers. And now, here are your hosts, New England Lacrosse Journal's Kyle Devitt and Jack Piatelli.
Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt. Alongside me, Jack Piatelli. We're back in the studio, man. How's it feel?
Feels really good. The weather has been fantastic. I've been able to go out and watch some lacrosse. College teams out playing, and the weather has been spectacular for lacrosse. And I always wish lacrosse was played in the fall. I thought lacrosse should really be played in the fall. Best time of this year. I mean, the kids come in August, right? And like football, and not have to freeze on the field in February and March and rain. And I don't know if that'll ever change. But I still wish lacrosse was played in the fall.
I think some places in the country it is, isn't it?
Not that I
know. It's got to be. Something like that. Or it moves for something else. Either way. But hey, we've gone about 2 minutes and not introduced our guest. He's a PLL champion as the assistant coach and the new head coach of the new program at Elms College, Rob Cross. How's it going, man?
Not too bad, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Coach, I'd like to start and just talk a little bit about your experience with the Water Dogs, and you came from nowhere really to win that championship. What did it take for you guys to pull that off, and what was the experience like for you?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about an experience of a lifetime for me personally, and I think I can honestly say the same thing for every guy in the team, 1 through 25. The experience has just been incredible. We're the only true expansion team to have assembled a team in the PLL. It's been a lot of fun. And some of these decisions on guys are like, they're a step up from fantasy football, if you know what I mean. It's a direct impact on production for sure. But the bubble series out in Utah, we were just trying to find our rhythm. Our second year, the second half of the season, we ended up collecting the one seed, going to the semifinals, losing to a tough Whip Snakes team. And here we are year three, and we're taking it home down in Philly in front of a capacity crowd. But I think the guys on the team are what makes it most special for me personally. And I think any coach on the staff will tell you, Coach Koch, Coach Ryan, that we do have the best locker room, and it certainly showed itself a couple weeks ago down in Philly. I mean, every guy is egoless. They play for the guy next to him. And I know what that sounds like, but you know, when you see how we play and the way we play, I think it speaks for itself. But nothing short of incredible there, for sure.
Yeah, justice for Kieran McArdle. I think watching, you know what I mean. Watching a lot of those guys play and then play in that championship game against a really tough chaos squad that pops off, gets runs, and you guys actually coming back and taking advantage of man-up opportunities to put it away, I think was classic pro lacrosse. The difference between pro lacrosse and any other kind of lacrosse is the players make the plays and the execution is harder. And I think that's kind of one of the things that really marks the difference, especially now in the PLL where the rosters are short, the benches are short, teams are short. There's only 8 teams. In the MLL, there's been as many as 12. So the talent is so concentrated. And for you guys to win it, man, I will tell you, I went on record on this podcast and did not include the Water Dogs as a team I thought could win it. So I will eat crow proudly, but I was super pumped to see how you did it. Can you talk a little bit more about the way that you teach execution and get pros to respond in the huddle?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you weren't alone in that narrative with us winning it this year. I think that was kind of like a big motivating piece for us. Nobody even talked about us, like even when we went on runs and even when we were the only team to beat the Whip Snakes during the regular season. So yeah, no big deal there. As far as executing, it reminds me of being in a college huddle. There's times where we're huddled up as a team where we need to get after it, get on the same page and just tighten the screws a little bit. And then there's other times where we're breaking up, O huddle D. I'm with the face-off unit at times. I'm with the O at times. But the focus is that we want to get one here or we want to get a stop here. And it's a collaborative effort. Coach Copeland does a great job directing traffic in terms of our schemes offensively, a man up, Coach Ryan on the D side. And I'm kind of a pinball back and forth. But the guys in the huddle, They are what makes it go. I don't ever remember there being a disagreement on in any huddle. Just let's go get this done. Let's have our unit be better than their unit. It kind of like that's the way it happened. It's really exciting to see because a lot of these guys, like they're coaches and they're still playing at the highest level. And some of them play indoors. Some of them play for their world team. And they have really good thoughts and ideas. So as a coach, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, like I was thinking that, but You know, it's nice to hear that somebody else in the NFL has the same idea, or if not a better one, but it's a collaborative effort and every player out there makes a go, and they do it by being unselfish and working for the best shot, not the first shot, first time ground ball, starting transition, all that. Sorry, that was a long-winded answer there.
No, we like long-winded answers. It makes our job easier.
Yeah.
We don't have to ask as many questions. But, you know, it's very important for the audience and parents and younger coaches to understand that the best teams have the best teammates on the team, and they do put their egos aside. And if you want to have accolades, you want to become an All-American, you have to be a great teammate, and you have to be on a good team. In order to be a good team, you have to respect the game and play for your teammates like you were able to do to win the PLL championship. Any response?
Without a doubt.
Go along with it, without a doubt. Let's do it.
Let's go. No, I mean, how do you follow that?
I know. Another question. you're just thinking about that big ring you're going to get right now, right?
be leaning. It's going to be heavy.
Yeah. Well, I hope I get a chance to take a look at it and maybe hold it for a sec. But, Coach, I'm very excited that you're taking over this program, new program in Chicopee, Mass. If anyone hasn't heard of Chicopee, Mass, it's a nice little town, and they've got some good burger places in Chicopee. But new lacrosse program, Elms College. Coach, how did this all come together for you, and what made you decide to take on this challenge? Because you've coached at the high school level, you've coached at a number of different places, I should say. And why Elms College?
I got to be honest with you, my interview experience and all the coaches I met, and our athletic director, Springfield legend, Coach T, as he goes by, Mike Dewallen.
Oh, is your athletic director a Springfield grad?
I believe he is.
Wow. Kyle,
he started lacrosse at Western New England. He knows Coach Lepacki really well.
Oh, he started lacrosse at Western New England.
Wow. Coach, just to fill you in, Jack Shoehorn's in a Springfield reference every podcast, just so you know.
The Springfield Mafia is alive and well. I know all of them, and they all know me, but I want to keep it that way. I want to stay in good terms there. But no, I after just having like so many positive interactions, and I believe I was supposed to only meet with the coaches, and they were asking me questions before I went off and met like the school president, which I thought was like awesome. And my time with the assistant coaches panel went over by like a half hour. Like, we're just sitting there talking, like I was getting excited. And with the resources and everything they're going to put into this program, it's really hard to say no. It was really hard to say no. I was looking for reasons not to. And my experience the first time I stepped foot on campus was simply great. And I thought this was a place that when I was walking around with our career support services, our majors that we offered, the graduate programs, like we can really turn this into something with a new turf field, new locker room coming, new weight room. There's a lot on the horizon. So nice little hidden gem out here in Chicopee, and we're going to shine some light on it, let it shine a little bit.
So if I'm a high school lacrosse player, why would I even take a look at Elms College? What does it offer that might interest me and my ability to play lacrosse in college?
Yeah, it's going to offer you flexibility and balance, right, between your academic schedule, the support you'll get from professors, tutors if needed, and the opportunity to be a trailblazer, right? You're going to be a person that's going to strap it on for the first time ever at the collegiate level. And we're in a great conference, the GNAC. It's made up of 14 different teams now, so there's a lot to play for, right? And there's opportunity there. So I think in terms of opportunity, being adding to the mix with the rich history of Springfield and Western New England, now we get to take on our role in that responsibility. And just, I want to get good fast. So I'll be honest with you, I've connected with about 75 kids in 2 weeks, some JUCO, some grad students, some high school, and I just really want to get this thing going. But I would say, to answer your question, you have the opportunity to come here and be a part of history, and then also be a part of what I think is very important at the next level is a great community that we offer here on campus. You see any professor, any coach, you know, any higher up here, like everybody is phenomenal. They're engaging, they're warm, they're supportive, and they're excited. It's hard to fake that kind of excitement, I think. So you know, there's nothing but opportunity. And we can also set you up with a nice, stable life post-college with some of our majors that we have. I've already met several alums in the business world, locally, down south, et cetera. And when they heard that we were adding lacrosse, I could hear, and to hold the phone a little further away from my head when I was talking to these people. It's just, there's a lot of excitement here. There's a lot of buzz on campus for sure.
Yeah, my familiarity with Elms goes back to when I was coaching at Daniel Webster, and my other job was I coached. So I was going to ask, how'd your golf team do, and are you doing a double sport there? Are you coaching another sport as well as men's lacrosse?
Yeah, so the golf team is doing pretty well. They just took second in an invitational match that they were at, but they're always like a top three finish based on the short time that I've been here and what I've seen from the results. And as far as my responsibilities on campus, I am a lacrosse coach only. That's something that was discussed in the interview. My status with the PLL and the Water Dogs, winning a ship isn't too shabby either. And they just really want this to be a driving force and to be something special. So they want all of my focus on recruiting and trying to get a team fielded and ready for the year of 2024. So I am a first and second foremost lacrosse coach. Lacrosse coach one, lacrosse coach two. Great.
That's, I'll be honest. That's the dream out in Western Central Mass. We want to say
Western
Mass. Yeah. I know it's past Worcester because I went to Clark, which is my shoehorn of my school into the podcast for once.
Coach Cohen. He's a beauty.
That's right. He was my captain. I was the captain after him.
Oh, you had to throw that in there.
Yep, I did. So, you know, how you're building a program that doesn't start playing until the following spring after the one upcoming. What is your first order of business? What's your first attack plan in terms of recruiting?
In terms of recruiting, I am trying to pinpoint guys that are a part of great programs, great organizations that have experience. For example, I've been on the phone with several junior college coaches, and I have half a dozen guys or better that I've been in deep discussions with that are going through the application process, and a handful of Division I guys, maybe for a graduate year. So I want to bring in experienced guys first and get old fast. And then I also want to bring in, I was on the phone with Coach Piatelli earlier in the week, trying to figure out which guys I should be talking to. And I'm recruiting, the second phase is recruiting inside out. There's a lot of talent in Western Mass, Massachusetts in general, and there's a lot of blue collar kids out here. And those are the type of kids that I'm trying to pinpoint. And kids that play multiple sports. I think kids that play more than one sport, I think it's fantastic. I'm going off on a tangent here, but that's been my primary focus. Guys with experience at other places, and guys that are eager and hungry to compete at the next level and looking for opportunities to be a part of something special.
Let's kind of rewind a little bit. Your path to where you are now,
yeah,
is ludicrous and interesting at the same time. I think it's amazing. You coached with Coach Ryan at Mercyhurst, yeah, who is, I don't know if you've met him, Jack, legend. Absolute legend. Yeah. It's a great place to start your coaching career. He's an excellent student of the game. Let's start from there and then kind of like guide me through the rest of your resume here, because it's eclectic, it's fun, and it's a lot of different schools. Like, just in terms of like how the school is different, not like it's a different level, but the school itself is so different and in a different location than the rest.
Right. Yeah, my journey's kind of like me. It's we'll sell you the edge of your seat, but we'll sell you the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge of it, right? So it's a lot of fun. But yeah, I got my start at Mercyhurst with Coach Ryan. Coach Ryan actually recruited me straight out of high school. And I think I was like myself and one other kid. I went to UMBC and the other guy went to Virginia. We were like the only kids from the area that didn't go to Mercyhurst. So after playing at UMBC, I had an extra year of eligibility and I was going to go play at Mercyhurst as a graduate student. And then, long story short, Coach Ryan's like, I got good news and bad news. I was down on my visit. I'm like, what's that? He's like, everything I've told you isn't coming true. I can't offer you a scholarship to play here. He goes, do you want the good news? I'm like, yes. He's like, how would you like to be an assistant coach? He's like, mine just quit yesterday. I need a guy. I'm like, yes, absolutely. I didn't hesitate. And my first year of coaching, I'm coaching guys on the team. It was a handful of Canadians. They were like 2 or 3 years older than me, like fresh out of college. I got my playbook and we made it to the semifinals that year. We lost 2 games. I'm like, hey, this coaching thing's awesome. And then after that, my college coach, Coach Zimmerman at UMBC, was a legend, excellent motivator, excellent teacher, fundamentals. I mean, if you say that name in the lacrosse world, everyone knows who you're talking about, probably has a good story. He called me and asked me if I wanted to come back. And I spoke with Coach Ryan. I wasn't sure. And Coach Ryan's like, you need to do this. You're serious about coaching. So I did. And for 3 years in a row, we went to the playoffs, and one of the most memorable years was 07, knocking off Coach Copeland and the Terps, and the first being a smaller state school, knocking off the big dogs. And we went into that game expecting to win. And that opened up a lot of opportunities for me. And the second and third year that I was there, we lost to Virginia by one in the playoffs. We lost to Carolina by one. So like, I was getting a lot of attention. And fast forward, John Tillman asked me if I wanted to come out to Harvard. And I thought in terms of becoming an offensive coordinator, taking the next step in my coaching career, that was something that needed to be done. So it was a bittersweet departure from my alma mater, but Harvard was an opportunity I didn't really think I could pass up on. And then from Harvard, I landed at Rutgers with Jim Stagnita, and that was due to Coach Tillman taking the Maryland job, bringing Kevin Warren with him. And then from Rutgers, I was at Delaware with Coach Schillinglaw. And then all these stops were second assistant spots for me. And so Siena called up, and that was closer to home. I'm from upstate New York, the 315. My famous joke, when people ask me if I played in high school, Mikey Powell, I say, no, he played with me. I mean, that's not true, but it's pretty funny. But, you know, it was a chance for me to be back home in New York and to become a first assistant. And I love my time at Siena with Coach Speck. I'll be honest with you, one of the best players I ever coached, Richie Hurley, who was a Tour Town finalist, was at Siena. And man, those were a lot of fun years. And then I started a family and I got out of coaching for a little bit and took a spot closer to home after missing nearly 2 years of my oldest daughter growing up. And then the PLL comes. And these were all like decisions that I made for myself. It wasn't like I was just trying to expand my resume and get as many different experiences as possible. And I turned down jobs as well. And then just the PLL has been something so significant, so special. And to have the opportunity to be the head coach at Elms and kind of use all my experiences as a player and as a coach. And I've worked alongside some of the best names in all of lacrosse. And I plan to use all of that to really turn this into something significant and one that the school can just kind of wrap its arms around this program and be proud of. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, my journey.
I will say you have on your background, I know this is not a visual medium, but Coach has on his background a blanket that is made of all the t-shirts that are, they're mostly lacrosse t-shirts. There's a couple soccer ones. It looks like your kind of athletic journey there. And
yeah.
I have to tell you, I have the same blanket with all of my stuff, except
your blanket's much smaller.
No, it's the same size, same company, man. So my story with that is, though, that I wasn't told that my stuff was getting taken and cut up and put into a blanket. I didn't know that it was happening. So I've got all the coaches, places I coached at, Plymouth State, Franklin Pierce, St. A's, Emerson, and Daniel Webster stuff all on the blanket, as well as Clark, where I played. And I didn't know it was being taken. And when it was presented to me in the blanket, I had almost what I would refer to as a nervous breakdown because all my stuff got cut up and put into a blanket and it freaked me out. But I think it's so awesome that you're using it as display in your, I'm assuming this is your office.
Yes, this is my new office.
It looks amazing. And I would encourage anyone to do the same. I think it's great, but make sure if you're doing it for someone else that you ask them before you take their...
Yeah, but if I could chime in right there, a similar thing happened to me. My wife was trying to get rid of all my old t-shirts. I was like, no, you're not doing that. I mean, yeah. I heard about the way you felt, man. And so like last year for my birthday, my mom gives me this thing that's wrapped and I open it up. It's all my t-shirt blanks. And I was like feeling all these emotions, reliving like everything, like all at once. I was like, I didn't even know what to say. It was just cool. And like, I had to hang it up in my office. It's too good a thing not to.
It's cool. Now I have to do it. I'm going to steal it for sure.
Yeah.
But I wanted to bring it to attention because it is I see one. There's the Powell 22 in the corner. That's a Warrior shirt back when you worked at Warrior.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's a classic.
Casey Powell had a pizza cafe at an indoor lacrosse venue in upstate, and that's one of the original shirts from when they opened up Casey's Cafe. Shout out Casey Powell.
That's amazing. You got to take a photo of that so we can put it on our social.
New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal will return after this message.
Dedication, skills, focus, and drive to play at the highest level. Laxachusetts is committed to providing the coaching and curriculum that will allow boys and girls to learn and grow as individuals and as teammates. With an emphasis on skill development and academic excellence, their players have led the country in college recruiting for the past 10 years. With over 800-plus players moving on to play in college and over 130-plus high school All-Americans, Laxachusetts has been able to set the nationwide standard unmatched in the sport of lacrosse. To learn more, log on to www.laxachusetts.com. lacrosse.com.
Are you serious about playing your sport in college? Do you need a flexible education that allows you to maintain your practice and competition schedules while also preparing you to succeed at the next level? You should check out the University of Nebraska High School. UNHS is accredited and offers more than 100 online courses, including NCAA-approved courses to protect your academic eligibility. Students could earn a UNHS diploma or take a single course for transfer credit. Courses are college prep, self-paced, and available 24/7, 365. Enroll anytime and take up to a year to complete a course. Visit highschool.nebraska.edu today.
Looking to keep up with all the latest news and information on New England lacrosse? New England Lacrosse Journal and LaxJournal.com are the premier resources for information and inspiration on the New England lacrosse scene. Have every issue of New England Lacrosse Journal, the magazine, delivered to your home or office. And don't forget to stay in the game every day with a digital subscription to LaxJournal.com to receive daily digital lacrosse coverage on club lacrosse, college commits, prep and high school, Division I, II, and III colleges, showcases, rankings, and much more. Get in the game and behind the scenes now by logging on to LaxJournal.com. Just click on the subscribe button and start the subscription that is right for you today. New England Lacrosse Journal is a Siemens Media publication. Siemens Media. Inspiring. Informative. Insightful.
Coach, let's kind of talk a little bit about the relationship between coaching college and coaching pro. What in your opinion is the biggest difference in terms of the player, not in terms of coaching them necessarily, but the type of player that you're going to encounter on the Water Dogs, or the type of player you're scouting to be on the Water Dogs when the draft comes, and then the type of player that you want to have at Elms? Obviously there's a gap there, and we don't have to talk about how big it is, but I want to talk about the type of player and is there like a similar mindset that you're trying to replicate?
Yeah, it's fun trying to find the right pieces to fit together. But I think I'll explain it to you this way, like guys who win the week and win the day. And I know that sounds cliche and cheesy, but it's true, right? Like the guys that are just driven to do that little extra, the guys that have to be pulled off the field, that eat, live, breathe it, and are just passionate about it. Like, that's the kind of guy I want around. And these guys in the Water Dogs, like, and the PLL across the board, like, you only get one day of practice, right? So these guys during the week are machines. Like, they are winning the week. They're working out. They're getting the reps in. And they're just working on their game nonstop. And me being an upstate New York guy, you can drive around any patch of grass by somebody's yard and it's worn out up there because everybody plays lacrosse in the yard and that's where you get better. Carcaterra will tell you that too, you know, about the Yorktown guys, but it's starting Farthage. Anyways, and just, I want guys that are driven like that, guys that are trying to perfect their craft. You never stop getting better. And lacrosse is a game you could play until you get old. And the guys in the Water Dogs are so committed, so invested, but like, they're also phenomenal people and they have that balance piece, which I also think is important. The balance, it's okay to be consumed, but every once in a while, it's okay to like kind of take a couple steps back and process and reevaluate and just see everything. And what else, again, like I'm just looking for kids, recruits that just, I have three rules as a coach. You be a good person, you work your tail off, and you be coachable. And that is true with the Water Dogs. Those guys are coachable. Like they want to be coached. Like I'll give you an example. Jack Hanna out of Denver, you know, what a year he had as a rookie. I mean, he's a handful out there, but like, if I didn't think he had a good shooting practice, I'd be like, hey, you and me 5 minutes. Go sit. We're going to the Civ School of Shooting right now. And like, he would come every time. And there'd be times he would come to me and be like, hey, let's get some work in. And then that's what the guys are like. They always want more. Like it's just that one more mentality. I think that's something that should be noticed and appreciated if you're a coach. But yeah, like as a coach, it's managing the personalities. And we were lucky enough to have a group, a locker room that's been around a long time. Guys that have been through a lot, won a lot, lost. And it kind of runs itself after a while. You let your shipmates have fun on the ship. But like when the time gets going, you just give them direction, give them expectation, and the rest takes care of itself.
I love having high energy coaches on because I get to steal everything that you guys do. Because that's, even if it's
odd. I'll give you my life statement. It's cool to care. It applies to every area of life.
Yeah.
I say that all the time.
It's true. It's everyone it's thinks cool it's cool to be cool, but it's not actually. It's actually like caring. Yeah, I'm serious. Like caring about what other people's needs and that, and putting that above looking good is something I wish every kid learned. I wish every kid knew that, but not every kid does know that. And I think that's kind of the lesson of sports, right? I would hope, and especially lacrosse, like the actual like coming together and learning how to be, maybe you're not the star one game and the next game you get to be, or just helping someone else be better is a huge part of playing sports. People think it's just coaching. It's not. It's playing too. Like being the player, the best compliment you can get as a player is just like, I knew you'd just work hard. I feel that way. I don't know if a lot of other people feel that way. I'm sure a lot of other people play for ego and whatnot, but getting to be a part of an experience with a team that's like really good and really fun is, I think, priceless, regardless of your age and ability. I think anytime you can get on a great team, it has a huge impact on your life.
I couldn't agree
more.
I would
agree.
And coaches say you want good teammates. Well, what's the definition of a good teammate or a great teammate? We want great teammates. Definition is you care about your teammates, right? You root a guy on that just beat you out as a starting attackman. You're the fourth guy. You're rooting him on sincerely on the sidelines because you care about that guy and you want that guy to be successful, because if he's successful, the team's going to be successful. But the guy who's starting above you is pushing you in practice. He wants you to get better, because if you get better, you're going to push him to get better and keep that starting position. Those practice players are so, so important to keep the starters on edge, and we all get better. Common goal.
Yeah. I think everybody's watched a game and seen like a blowout game, and then a player comes in and they score, and you see the sideline go insane, right? The reason that happens is because that kid who scored, first of all, he doesn't play a lot. That's why you don't know who he is. But second of all, he probably does a lot of stuff you're never going to know about as right. Someone just watching the game.
Absolutely.
And all the rest of the guys are celebrating because they love that guy what he does for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And they respect him.
Yeah.
Yes.
The most important thing is they respect him. And Rob, don't mean to interrupt, but I think that's a very important message about multi-sport athletes, because if you play hockey and you're on the fourth line, okay, you have a great appreciation when you play lacrosse and you're their top scorer or their top attackman, because your roles are very different on both teams. You have an appreciation now when you're the best attackman for the guy who's the fifth guy and not seeing a lot of time, when you're the fourth line hockey guy who's not seeing a lot of time. And I think those experiences as athletes are greater than actually playing different sports, because how many times you see a guy or a male or a female be the best player on their soccer, basketball, lacrosse team? Very rare do you see that.
Right. No, I had a recruit on campus this weekend, and I shared a story about myself that you were just touching on, Coach. Like, my senior year, I had a little bit of a slump at UMBC, and I got benched, and the freshman came in. Instead of being bitter, negative, the whole thing, like, I wrapped my arm around him. Like, he was kind of, like, taken by that, and I just told him. I go, Brendan Mundorf and Drew Westervelt are two of the best college lacrosse players. I go, you need to delay your cuts for a second. You need to set picks, finish your pop after the picks, and just be opportunistic and make this simple next play. And the kid goes in, has a day, and one, I might have given too good advice, but in practice, like, I went after that kid. Like, we competed, and I eventually won my job back. But I think that moment in my senior year, I knew I was going to be a coach at some day, because, like, I didn't want to get negative. Like, time is precious, right? I'm still here wishing I could be at practice as a college guy. I still miss soccer practice in high school. I still miss basketball practice in high school and games. But yeah, like, Coach, like you said, like, that's when you really find out about yourself as a person, right? Like, how are you going to use that? Like, you got to use it as opportunity, would be my advice, like you're saying, to make yourself, your teammates better. Just make yourself better and everybody else around you. That's what separates good from great, the ability to have an impact on the guys around you.
Coach, you had me at Mundorf from Westervelt. Those are...
They're fun. Andy Gallagher was there too. Those guys were really good.
They're legends, man. And I had the honor of covering all their careers, and not really, I got to know Drew a little bit later, but it's, man, I was at the practice where Mundorf broke his ankle. in the MLL before the MLL final. And God, it was the most heartbreaking thing I've ever seen in my life. And it's funny because like that's the one I would relate to the Dylan Molloy situation at Brown in 2016. I think it's like almost identical. And it's one of the most what if moments for me as like a pro lacrosse historian. I'm so into that kind of thing. And I'm sure you are too, as like a student of the game and someone that's like played with those guys and been able to follow their careers through the MLL. And now you're coaching in the PLL. What has that process been like for you? Because we talked about your college movement and your philosophies and things like that, but you have so much connection with all these guys. How do you forge that? What about you do you think helps you forge those relationships?
I think it is the same thing that when I was a player, like I just love being a part of a team. And like, you could ask anybody, like I play for everybody else before I play for me. Like when I was like the best player on all the teams, like I didn't mind that. But like when I was one of the best players, I like that even more. Because that's the way I coach. Like I'm a people first coach. And then I worry about X's and O's, schematics, mentality, culture. Like it starts with culture and I'm a people person. I treat everybody like I've known them my whole life upon first meeting them. And it's a huge flaw of mine. It's a good one, but it's a flaw. But I just think I'm relentless in the fact that I will go above and beyond to make sure that their experience, their needs are met and that they're having a great experience. And I think when you do that, things come back your way in a very positive way. So it's just something I believe in. I believe in doing things for other people. And I always put everything I need second to the needs of others. Just ask my wife.
That's a great story, Coach, about when you were a senior. I mean, that's a great message to a lot of players and younger athletes out there. I understand that's really what it's all about, to be, you're in competition, but you're on the same team for the same common goal is to compete and have some success on the field. And I just want you to explain to Kyle for me what it's like to be the best player on a lacrosse team.
Wow, dude. I was the leading scorer my senior and junior year. Okay? The team wasn't good. Sorry.
So were you the best player on the team?
I'm saying I was the leading scorer. That's all I'm saying.
You don't know what it feels like to be the best player on a team? It's okay. All right, on to the next subject.
Tough run, man.
Coach, do you actually have games next spring in 2023?
No. I'm trying to get ready for the fall of 23 and get the team organized and ready to go for the fall leading up to spring of 2024.
That's nice. So they give you this whole year. You'll start a season in the fall. Are you already working on next year's schedule? Obviously, you'll have your conference games and out of conference games. Are you planning that as well right now?
Yeah. So the meat and potatoes of our schedule is going to be conference games. We just brought in two other teams to the GNAC, and with the addition of Elms, that's 14 teams right there. And with your dates of competition, you're talking maybe one or two games outside the conference. So it's going to be a conference heavy schedule. But I also think that as a first year program, like, our goal is always going to be to like compete for a conference title and an opportunity to advance. So I kind of think it lines up nicely with what we're trying to do, right? Like we're going to focus one game at a time. We'll practice at a time, that whole thing. But with our sights set on being competitive in the conference. So again, there's other opportunities to compete in conference games right in the area here. Might wait a couple of years before we play Coach Bugby and Coach Piatelli's alma mater, but something to work towards.
What's
same thing with you, Coach. I know Coach Cohen and Clark really well, so we might wait a year or two to play them. But yeah, it's going to be a conference-heavy schedule. I think we'll plug in a couple of non-conference where opportunity presents itself.
Well, if winning is important, I know which program you want to play first.
Wow.
Clark.
Wow. It's tough. It's a tough run, dude. He just made a note on the paper that said 0-0. That's what he did. That's what, just so everyone knows, that's why I get fired up. Sometimes I'm on these podcasts, people are like, what's going on, man? I'm like, hey, he's a button pusher. And he knows how to get me.
He poked the bear.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a large bear, so it's pretty tempting for him, I think.
Coach, talk a little bit about how many players have committed to your school thus far, and can you talk a little bit about them and maybe some of your prospects?
Yeah, of course. Pardon me. That's probably a recruit right now. Yeah, so I am on the, I have one recruit locked up right now. He's a 6'4" middie. He started playing lacrosse as a sophomore, and he really came to life this summer on the summer circuit. But he's also a football and basketball player, right? And so I think he's going to be a good one. And I'm targeting a junior college transfer who plays for a very, very well-known program with national championship experience. And I really want the offensive guys to come in and have a guy like that that's accessible for them. A guy who's won a championship, guy who's been there, and a guy who knows how to work outside of the practice field on his own and also be a good person on campus. Because let's be honest, that stuff matters. And I've been really working the phones. I have some Western Mass schools bringing like 3 to 5 kids on campus this week, and I'm very close with them. So I'm just really trying to recruit in little clusters. But the midfielder out of New York and junior college kid are the two front runners right now. And we're really close with another talented player out of the Springfield area. So those three guys are kind of the three pieces I'm looking to run with first and then fill around them. Because I've met with them on the phone. They've been to campus. One's coming to campus next week. And like, I'm being very open and honest. There's opportunity here, but you guys are going to be guys that I'm going to lean on and have expectations for you to be the best version of yourself and to work hard and show guys how it's done based on their experiences and based on them as people.
So by spring 2024, what is your goal in terms of your roster size?
50 players.
What?
50 players.
Stop. Yep. How are you going to get 50 players? How?
One at a time.
That's wild, dude. Yeah. I'm gonna be honest. That's one of the, I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible, but that's very difficult in terms of just the sheer number for a Division III program. As someone that's coached at several, that's a tough one to hoe. I mean, I think that things are very different now than when I was coaching, and there are more players playing, and especially where you are, there's more talent locally for you to mine. Yeah. And in Massachusetts and New England in general. But I'm going to be honest, that's a wild number.
That's a hefty goal, but hey, you got to set a goal. You got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, man. I feel like you can do it. I think my question,
that's my life story. I enjoy proving people wrong.
You should.
Believe me, what I love to see you prove Kyle wrong.
Send me the roster. Yeah, yeah. On day one. If it has 50 on it.
We're gonna put money on this.
Oh no, we don't. We can't. Okay. Gambling's illegal. No, gambling's illegal. All right. But you know, I mean, it's not actually anymore, is it? We'll talk about it. There'll be a compensatory draft pick in there. So that's your goal. What position do you go after first and why? And if you don't have a preference for the position, why not?
Being a former offensive guy who has to know defense too, right? The first three players I'm going after, one's an attackman, one's a midfielder, one's a defenseman, and the other one is a goalie. So that's going to be my core. And then I'm going to wait a bit, and then I'm just going to go after faceoff guys. But I think starting with the attack, the midfield, the defense, and the goaltending, netminder spot, those are the four positions I'm looking to fill first and foremost. Because now you have a representative of like the cabinet, right? The position. So that's just the way I'm doing it. And also, like, if there's a guy in between that fills one of those spots, I'm going to take him too. But again, you have to be a good person. You have to work hard. You have to be coachable. I don't talk about grades. I expect you to do well in school. I expect you to work your tail off in class. That's an expectation. And if I am talking about it, then there's probably going to be an issue.
Yeah. Are you going to have study halls, things like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think especially for the foundation year as a freshman, whether they need it or not, first semester study hall for our entire team and the guys, just to make sure we have a good foundation and we know how to manage our time and we know how to just be a student athlete in college. And we know how to sleep. Sleep's another part of the equation. Just all of that to make sure we have some good footing heading into 2024.
Coach, talk a little bit about the academic programs that Elms offers to the student athletes.
Yeah, so our bigger majors are our nursing school is like top 10 in all of Massachusetts. That's kind of what the school hangs its hat on. The ones where I think could be more beneficial to me, not to take anything away, not to sound negative from nursing, but just the health sciences, the business division, the education, criminal justice, social sciences, and those are going to kind of be the meat and potatoes, I believe, the areas I'm going to go after and just simply push to families.
And how many students do you have on campus?
Yeah, so Elms is, with the graduate students thrown in there, you're hovering 1,200. You're hovering 1,200 students. So the big fish, small pond scenario, the tight community scenario, like the young man I'm talking to from Western Mass here, who was originally from Texas, he wants that smaller community. He wants access to, our AD talks to all the recruits when I have him on campus. Coach T, like he lights them up. That guy's got one other speed. I think it's reverse. So, you know, at other schools, I don't think you have direct access to guys, high profile people like that. I think it's important. And I think that's something where we can get some momentum in the recruiting process.
How far along are you in bringing in assistants? Are you going to wait until summer to help with recruiting, or are you just waiting until next fall?
Yeah, so it's going to be before next summer, probably the end of spring here in 2023. And I'm already in discussions with, I can't mention their name, but they're, if we get this guy, it'll be a pair that would be at a full house any day of the week. Plus, I'll have two graduate assistant positions available as well. So you're talking four coaches for a Division III program. I think that's a pretty darn good setup.
You have two spots? Again, this is wild. I like it. I know it's coming.
I was trying to find reasons not to take this job. I couldn't come up with one.
No, if they're supporting you that much, and I think people, let's pull back the curtain a little bit right now. That's a lot of coaches from one program with one coach at that size of a school. You know what I mean? Like, that is a huge, huge boon to be able to build something with that level of resources. That's incredible. And you guys have a turf field.
We do. We have a brand new turf field. It is gorgeous. And there's plans to, so you have the lacrosse field in the spring of 2024, but you have the turf field, brand new, shooting clocks, the whole thing. And then right next to it is the softball field. And this fall, they're going to start turfing that as well. So they're going to expand that. And then again, with the addition of a new weight room and a new men's lacrosse locker room, like there's a lot to look forward to on the horizon. It's an exciting time right now.
Coach, in terms of your offense, what kind of offense do you like to run?
I like to run a few different ones. Everybody's going morph into the pairs offense, which I think is great for the two-man combination stuff. I'm a big 2-1-3 guy, umbrella up top, because I think you can morph the pairs and the 1-4 out of that set pretty nicely. And you can attack from five spots on the field as opposed to only two or three or four, whatever you're running.
It's 12.
And then I also like the fact where in that set, you can really be versatile where you're dodging from. You can get the big cannonball down the hash dodge, top corners, low wing, GLE, and then also from behind with attackmans and shorties and like a single look out of it. So I just think that's a really versatile set I played in at UMBC. The set Coach Ryan still runs from when I was on staff with him in 2006, and it's gotten him to a bunch of national championships and even gotten one. So that's a set that I really like because your five perimeter players, they have the option to be involved in the two-man game. You can mix in three-man combinations away from the ball. I know I'm talking a mile a minute here, but I really like that set.
It's all good, Coach. And what's your philosophy on man up? What do you like to run on man up if you're one man up?
Yeah, I'm a big 13 guy. 1-3-2. And I also, I'll let everybody know. Everybody in the conference has already started a game plan for me, starting an open set and see what it morphs into. Your heads are going to be spinning. You're going to have a great inside presence, and we're going to push the 2-on-1. We're going to hammer down, making the easy play. Working for the best shot, not the first shot.
Coach, I think you almost complete our GNAC collection of coaches. Believe it or not, I think we've had almost everyone on, right? Except for...
Great. Caboose of the GNAC, bringing it up?
Nah, I think we got a couple more to go through, but I think a couple of them that we haven't had on are going to be upset that we had you on because the energy is incredible. Everything that I've heard about you is true, and I always like that. I like when someone like lives up to their rep. That's good. I enjoy it.
And I can't wait for tomorrow. You know why?
Why?
Because I get better looking every day.
Wow. What a place to end it. Coach, thanks again for coming on. Looking forward to building a relationship with you, man, because we got the same energy and I enjoy it. So that's good.
Coach, I'm really looking forward to on your program, your progress, and we'll get out to a game in 2024. But best of luck, and thanks again for coming on with us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Bowl. Thanks again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. For Jack Piatelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Also, listen to the podcast on the website, laxjournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at NELaxJournal, Instagram at New England Lacrosse Journal, Lax Journal on Facebook, and our email address, chasingthegoal@laxjournal.com. Join us again next time as we go chasing the goal. Chasing the Goal, a Siemens Media podcast.